All right, ladies, welcome once again to your Venus Index podcast. I'm Brad Howard, and I've got John Barbin on the phone. And today we're going to talk about a couple of interesting things. I've got a lot of good questions that kind of flew in the forums, and we'll take care of those, including why the women's workouts are different than the men's, why the men have overreaching and the women don't really, and some things like that. But first, we're going to talk about posing really quickly because I know we've got a lot of people that are kind of getting antsy about that. We're going to go in detail about how to do it next week. So that'll be next Monday. But for now, I guess, John, let's kind of talk about that a little bit, kind of give a little bit of some background on what we're going to be looking for and why it's not going to be really as kind of in-depth as the men's side.
Yeah, the guys will be doing a lot more of the traditional bodybuilding poses, but we're not going to ask or require the girls to. It doesn't really make a whole lot of sense. Now, it doesn't mean you can't do them. It's just we're not necessarily going to be judging you on them. If it's always good to take more pictures than less. Just getting to see more angles is always better. Plus, more pictures for you to choose from is better. Like when I was working at the last few supplement companies, when we had a library of before and after pictures and just photo shoot pictures of our various sponsored athletes for ads, we would have thousands of pictures of the same person and have to pick through to find like the three that we liked for an ad. So it gets that specific.
Sure.
So if you just take two pictures, you know, you could be standing in the same spot. Switch the exposure. If you have a camera that even has multiple exposure settings, without even moving, the exposure setting on the camera can change how you look. And then after that, just moving around in the room where the light is, try to get side lighting. If you're standing next to a window where light's coming through the window, you can catch a lot of definition and angles and curves that you just don't show up on camera without being in that exact position. Under a pot light helps with the light straight down. Even a light from below up can obviously cast different shadows. So there's some art to the picture taking. So and everyone in the contest is going to be exposed to all the same coaching. So you guys can all take a good after picture. I've done a photo shoot with a figure model that I will be posting some of her, some of the pictures we took as examples of ways that you can pose for your after pictures. Now, just standing flat-footed facing the camera is like one of the worst poses. For girls, bikini and heels is typical how, like the pictures we had of Tori on the site, that's how figure models, fitness models are judged in that. That's the getup. So it's heels in a bikini. And that frames your body in its best sort of posture. And then from there, we're obviously the front, side, and back shots for evaluation for the before and after comparison. But also, you'll never see a figure model or a model in an ad ever just standing facing the camera. There's always a slight twist. Always one leg is slightly in front of the other. One hand is on the hip.
Well, the before is always like
the
worst.
Yeah, the before is like the before everyone took, just sort of standing there. But the after part of this is realizing the presentation matters, and Pilon proved this. Pilon just went and got it's not necessarily the same for girls, but Pilon just went and got a tan. He shaved and pumped up at the gym and took a before and after picture, and that's all he did. It wasn't 12 weeks later. It was a day later. And people thought he had gained like 5 pounds of muscle, and then he was like, no, man, I just went and got a tan. So, and took a better picture with slightly better lighting. So the point is that the picture matters. Knowing how to take a picture matters. And someone who actually really knows how to take a picture could win a contest simply just knowing how to take a picture. So I want everyone to know how to take a good picture. And so one of the things you got to do is take a lot of them so you can sift through and find the ones you really like. And it's not cheating. It's not being deceitful. That's you. It's you in the picture. It's just the way pictures work. So it's different if it was live and you're all standing right next to each other under the same lighting, because then everyone's casting the exact same shadows. Everyone's giving the same look because everyone's exposed to the same environment. And the judges are live. We're sitting there right in front of you. But since we're not sitting right in front of you, we want to try to level the playing field by instructing you all on how to take your best pictures. So that's part of that's posing. Part of that's just a slight twist here and there that makes all the difference. And it's kind of fun to actually go into a pose the way you would see a figure model pose. You're like, oh, that's cool. That's what the girls in the magazines do. That's what they look like. So And that's, you know, that's under the instruction of a professional who's like trying to get curves to come out right where they want them. So we're going to give you a little bit of that instruction. And it's not crazy intense or anything. It's just, you know, standing straight, now twist a bit. Oh, all of a sudden it looks a little bit better. You know, gives the illusion of a narrow waist and that sort of stuff. So what we'll do is the standard front backside and then a bunch of other sort of more creative poses. And it'll be fun because you're going to find a few that you really like. And that's part of it, right? Part of it's the presentation.
Yeah, we all, I mean, this should make sense. I mean, you're women. I mean, every time I go out, you know, with Elle and we're out within a group of people, I mean, one picture just doesn't work. I mean, it's like we have to take the same picture like five times.
Oh, yeah. Oh, there are girls, and I didn't know this, but there are girls who, you know, on their Facebook profile or just because of digital media, there's certain girls that I know just from knowing from school and around and some friends who always looked better in their pictures than everybody else. And I'm like, man, she's photogenic. And then I saw it live and I realized what she was doing. She goes into a specific pose every time there's a camera in front of her.
Right.
And I'm like, oh, you're doing this on purpose. I kind of called her out and she's like, yeah, is it obvious? And I'm like, I can't believe you. Like, that's like, you totally knew what you were doing. And like, that's why she basically shows up all her friends in pictures. Because as soon as the cameras comes out, like at the bar, wherever they are, she has this way of like, I mean, she puts the smile on right at the right time. And she goes into like kind of like a posture that she's figured out somewhere along the line that that's how she looks best in a picture. And she always looks really good in every picture. So she's never caught like off guard in an awkward position. She sort of knows it's coming and knows exactly what to do. So, and when I saw it unfold in front of me, I'm like, oh, you know what you're doing.
So she's the girl never showing gang signs in her pictures or anything like that.
Yeah, no. And she just like, it was like on cue. She knew exactly what position she needed to be in no matter where she was. And then, again, you see her profile, and dozens of pictures, she always looks just right. And I'm like, oh, man, you know what you're doing.
Yeah. So, yeah, you got a combination of two things there. You got, you know, not only the people taking monstrous amounts of – I mean, I know on our camera, just in general, there's we had to get a huge thing. Like what are they called? Memory sticks?
Memory cards.
I was telling you earlier, like for a person who's got such a tech background, I'm so anti-tech, it's ridiculous. But there are thousands of pictures on our camera. And I would say like really 80% of the pictures are redundant because they're the same picture. That was something, or maybe even 90%. I mean, it's just funny.
So don't be shy when you're taking your pictures. Take a bunch, look through them, pick the ones you like. Everybody do that. Take a bunch and compare them, and pick out the ones you like. And
With that being said, don't send us 1,000 pictures.
Oh yeah, just send us the good.
That's an auto disqualification.
just so you know, some of our guys sent upwards of like 24 pictures.
Right.
And that's fine. I didn't mind at all having that many to kind of choose from. So they did their standard one. They did their one with the newspaper to prove it was that day and all that. And then, but then they went through, and this was before they never had a posing tutorial. So they kind of just hacked their way through poses that they, you know, tried them themselves. And that's when we were like, oh, we might as well teach these guys actually how to do this.
Sure.
So we're going to show you guys next week, some standard poses, And they're relatively relaxed poses, but they're what will really show off your figure. And like I said, it's not deceitful. It's literally every single model you'll see in every magazine is being put in position by a professional. They're not just standing there. Someone is literally telling them, move your hand an inch this way. No, twist like an inch that way. And it makes all the difference in the world. So we're going to at least get everyone to do a little bit of that.
Yeah, I mean, well, you had said that in the past. I mean, at least how many pictures did you take? You took a lot when you did.
Oh yeah, we took tons. We took tons. We have hundreds.
Yeah, that's right.
And again, it's just standing in the same spot, and we have a pretty good camera. It's got like, I don't know, 12 different settings. So standing in the same spot, I don't move, and we switch the setting on the camera. Totally different. You'd say it was months different.
Yeah,
and
so
you'd say my look. You'd be like, man, are you like? Are you heavier in that picture? Are you leaner in that one? And it's like, no, this is an exposure setting on the camera. I'm standing in the exact same spot. Like those pictures are like 2 seconds apart.
Yeah,
but you'd swear they're two months apart.
Yeah, like the difference, at least on the Adonis side. If you go over to the Adonis Lifestyle fan page, like the, you've got pictures of John. There's some pictures of me up. The difference is like I literally took three pictures. Just bam, bam, bam.
You're probably almost as lean as me, or probably just as lean, just not with a great camera.
Right, exactly. Or just, you know, really bad lighting. Right.
Yeah. Yeah.
People are like, so, you need to lean out your abs, and I was like, man, that's just bad lighting.
Yeah. You know?
And no tan.
Yeah. Oh yeah. The tanning makes a difference too. Oh, you don't have to. Like I did a spray on tan for my pics, but you don't have to do that for us.
Sure.
You can if you want to for fun, but it's not really all that necessary.
Yeah, it's fun stuff. So, all right, moving on. So what?
Okay. Yeah. So, question about overreaching, plateau busting, rep ranges, and all that stuff. Why is the Naomi? This is for you, and I guess everyone else who is looking at that thread. There is something to be said for the neuromuscular inefficiency from men to women. And now that is guys tend to have a range where they can go up to much heavier weights that are a significant departure from what they can do for 10 or 12 reps, so to speak. And I know we've talked about this before. So basically, whatever weight a guy can lift for 10 or 12 reps, he can go way higher than that for 2, 3, and 5 reps, whereas a weight a woman can lift for 10 or 12 reps, it's likely she can't go much higher than that, and she's already to her max.
Yeah.
So it almost doesn't make sense to get women to lift that much lower than 8, 10-ish reps because the amount of weight she'll be lifting will be relatively similar. There's not that much room for her to move up. Now, with that said, in the boosters, we do a lot of Fibonacci pyramid stuff that goes all the way up to 5 reps, so you do get to do your heavy stuff in there. But it's still, there is some difference between how men and women are wired neuromuscularly.
Right.
So it doesn't mean you can't train like guys. It just means that's the one little thing that's different.
As an example,
to be aware of.
Yeah.
Go ahead.
I was gonna say, as an example, I mean, like for me, when I'm working, you know, on the guy side with, you know, going from 21 to 13s to 8s to 5s, you know, or even lower. I mean, usually for me, you're looking at a 15 to 20 pound spread between each of those.
Oh, each one. Yeah. So by the end of it, you're looking at a 50 or 60 pound spread.
Yeah. So let's say we're doing some type of chest press, and let's say I'm using 100 pound dumbbells for 5. Well, if I drop down for 8, I'm using 85s. And I'm going 13s, I'm using, you know,
70s.
Or 70s, right, yeah, exactly. So you're looking at you know, like a 15-pound spread. But when I look at some of the women and what they're using, I mean, we may be only talking like 5.
Mm-hmm. So, and that's a good point. The scale in general matters. The scale of it all matters too. So it doesn't mean guys and girls can't train very similar. It's just there's slight variations. Beyond that, the balance of the workout, and I know the thread kind of got along towards talking about guys who overdo their upper bodies and don't train their legs, which is definitely not anything we espouse at all. Because up top to bottom balance is also important as just symmetry in our numbers. The Venus workout is whole body balanced, and it's designed on purpose that way. Some guys just refuse to train legs. Some guys have big legs. They just sort of have them, so they focus more on their upper body. So it's up to them to include the leg work that's written into the program or a booster if they want. So, and that's also why we created the specializations for you guys, was if you have a muscle group or a few groups of muscles you want to focus on, that's why they're there. So you can – the idea is to have the program as your base, your constant background base to constantly work on a balanced figure. And then if you notice along the way, you're like, I think this one area needs to come up a bit. That's how you do it. You add in the booster. And then from there you reassess. Again, there's some patience involved. You can't just add in one booster 1 week and be like, okay, I'm done. Like it takes time once you've added something in, and you've got to pay attention to see if it's doing something. And again, all of this is dependent on being lean enough to even notice. So there's a few things going on here. As far as overreaching goes, we have that. You got to remember, guys are pushing to their utter max. They're trying to squeeze every ounce of muscle they can out of their bodies. And keep in mind, a lot of guys are still functioning under the image distortion that of a body type that's actually a drug-induced body type that they're chasing. Not that we're promoting it, but a lot of guys still are imagining a muscle bigger than they probably can even build. And the amount of effort they're putting in the gym – sort of resembles chasing something that's unattainable. I don't know if that makes any sense.
Like the carrot and the stick kind of thing.
Kinda, yeah. So they're pushing really, really hard, and their overreaching workouts are designed to, and they're short term, they're 1 or 2 weeks, and we call them rage on that side, and they're just designed to get you to push to your utter max, almost to the edge of overtraining and to the edge of breaking down without actually tipping over the edge. It's really intense. It chews up a lot of mental and psychological effort. You're going to be stressed. You might be even irritable the weeks you do that kind of stuff. I tested them all out with me and some training partners. We actually tested them for 4 weeks, and by the end of the fourth week, all of us were injured or had chronic inflammation. It was way too much. So 2 weeks is about where there's, and that test was designed. I didn't tell my partners that, but it was designed to get everyone to the point where they just couldn't go anymore. So they kind of were like, are we ever going to stop this? And when they sort of piped up and were like, this is far too much, that's how I knew we designed them properly.
Yeah.
So two weeks, manageable. And then when you come back, 2 weeks of overreaching, and then when you come back to your base program, you've got sort of a new sense of push and a new sense of effort you can put into the base program and still get what you need out of it without it killing you. So it's kind of like it's intermittent bursts of going even harder than is sort of necessary, and then you come back down, and you're at kind of, you can almost view it as coming back to a new level of focus, intensity, and endurance.
Well, yeah, I mean, it kind of teaches in a kind of a backwards way. It kind of actually is our way of teaching intensity in the gym, you know, because you know, our biggest issue, at least on the guy's side, is most guys don't understand intensity. I mean, they talk about, you know, how much weight am I supposed to use? And, you know, our rule of thumb, and it's even like this on the women's side, it's like, well you use the amount of weight that you can use where the last rep that's prescribed you can't do in good form.
Exactly. So muscular failure, when you see 10 reps, that means you do 10 reps in perfect form and the 11th is sloppy.
Right.
That meaning now you're not completing a proper rep anymore. You have to like heave it with your body, or you're doing something sloppy, or you're using other kind of momentum. You're out of form to move the weight. And at that point, you know that, oh, okay, that was the right weight. So if you're knocking out 10 reps and you could easily do five more, it's too light.
Yeah.
And that's, there's nothing else to be said about it. That's just how that works.
Yeah.
So and that's how you know that's how you know what weight to use.
Yeah.
And in the program, if you wanted, every now and then challenge yourself and go 8 or 7 reps. You can do that every now and then if you want. You can just decide, I want to try a little bit heavier right here.
Yeah.
But the point is that means you pick an even heavier weight that you can only do for 8 reps such that the 9th is sloppy.
Okay. Well, that brings up another comment I want to make in just a second. But what you have to realize is that the hardest thing for us to teach is intensity. That's the hardest thing for us to teach because we can't.
Which everyone will get a hands-on tutorial for that in Vegas.
Yeah. Oh, by the way, speaking of that, if you're coming to Vegas, please send John an email and let us know so we can get headcount, because I need to know how many people are going to be working out with us, because I've got to figure out how to make that work as far as whether we're going to have to, you know, pay it or if they're going to let us trade it out or whatever. So, so I need a headcount on how many people are going to come.
How many people are going to come and how many people actually want to work out with us? I mean, some people may just be a little bit spent from the contest and not really want to work out. I suggest everyone bring their workout stuff because I don't know when the next – we're going to try to meet up as much as we can throughout the year. But, you know, if you're already on your way to Vegas, you might as well bring your stuff so we can all train.
Yeah.
And if you – I'm offering I'll train everybody. Like, there'll be a bunch of us. There'll be Adonis guys and Venus girls, and I'll try to split my attention up as much as possible. Howard will be there. Pilon will be there. So you'll get all of us helping. So if there's anything you want to learn and there's things you want to, like, sort out, that'll be the time. So, and we can do it every morning. So I'll be there for 4 days. So, and we can go a couple hours if you want. Like, I don't know, Howard, if you want to stay that long, but I'll stick around for a couple hours each day for sure.
Yeah, no, me and Pilon will be having mojitos watching you guys. That's just how it is.
Okay.
I don't know how.
All right, well, this is your chance. This is your chance for hands-on coaching. So if you're going to be there, you can have as much time as you want in the gym.
You're breaking a rule, man. Vegas is for vacation.
It's in the morning. But You'll be asleep.
Vegas is for vacation, dude. One of the things I wanted to touch on, I just thought about this, is I got a comment that came in support one time, and basically the comment was that people wanted to see higher, multiple comments. People wanted to see, when we do workout videos inside products, that they wanted to see higher weights being used and things like that. And I just wanted John to address that because it's...
Oh, yeah, this is a good one. You got to remember... the point of the videos aren't to be, they're just instructional. They're not necessarily inspirational, like watching some girl lift as much weight as possible. Also, those models are in there, like Susan and Allie and Becky and whoever's been a model for us. Some of those videos, we are in a gym that offered us, that allowed us to film there at like 12 a.m. or 2 in the, whatever, 1 in the morning, p.m., whatever it is, midnight. And those girls had worked all day long, and then they're in there for 2 hours straight lifting weights in 50 different exercises. So they're actually pretty exhausted. That's the reason why in those pictures and in the videos, they're not lifting much because they're just lifting constantly. And even pro bodybuilders and fitness magazines, the same thing. They don't want to lift heavy weights because all the time when you see a bodybuilding or fitness magazine, those people are in competition shape, meaning they're dieted down. Like that's the day of the competition or the day right after the competition that photo shoot's happening. And they're dehydrated. They're low on calories. They're exhausted. And the photographer's like, now go lift the 200-pound dumbbells. And the guy, the bodybuilder's like, are you kidding me? I can barely stand up. I'm tired as hell. I can't lift those things. But for the visual impact of the article, they want the bigger weights, but the bodybuilder's like, I might tear a muscle if I do that. So same with our girls. That's not just me in the gym just filming them while they're going through a real workout. That's them in position to show how the workout, how that specific exercise goes, and not at all for actual weight used. So if Susan's doing a bent row just with the bar, that's just purely to show form. It doesn't matter how much weight's on it. And again, that's midnight and she's worked all day and she's been in there for 2 hours lifting stuff. So they were actually all pretty sore even with the light weights they were using because they were going at it for so long.
And doing it as a favor.
Yeah, this is a favor to me. So I can't really say, that's not impressive. Put more weight on. Like that's, you've seen the picture, the look she gives me in one of those pictures. It would have been a lot worse.
Yeah, exactly. So that's pretty funny. So I just thought about it. I wanted to address that because, I understand. I get it. And we understand what you're looking for and that you want to see that type of thing. But
You want inspirational pictures? It'll be the videos of everyone who comes to Vegas. How's that?
Yeah, there you go. So we got you covered just in a different way. So yes. we'll get it handled. So yep. Okay, so I know you wanted to cover the overreaching stuff. What else did you want to cover today?
Well, I mean, that was one of the major things that had come out recently. As far as this final stretch with the contest, there's nothing really else to consider besides just buckling down for the next 3 weeks. It's really short term now. So whatever your stay on course, add in extra cardio if weight loss is an issue. There's no motivational anything I can say besides just keep your focus on 23 days from now. Short-term stuff, like if you're tempted by anything right now, try to shift your focus from short-term local to just 3 weeks from now. And that's one of the only things I can say at this point. This is like gut check time, really.
Yeah, if you found your sweet spot right now and you're motoring along, I wouldn't even add anything in because you just run the risk of just messing. Especially if you're running a pretty good deficit right now, you start trying to add stuff in and you end up just, I know when I'm in a deficit and I start trying to add in extra work, it's just a mess. I mean, I get tired the next day. I mean, I'm worthless, so it kind of messes with your mojo and,
Yeah, it's a good point. So if you are just in a rhythm, just stick with it.
Yeah. I mean, just stick with it. And the reason we say that, because we know, just keep in mind that almost everybody's going to try to do something else. Everybody always tries to add more with more. So if you're the person that doesn't do that, well, then you'll do better. I mean, it's just the way it's the way it always is. And every one of these contests, it's like the person that can get to the sweet spot, to get to the momentum, and the person that can stick that is the person that wins, you know, pretty much every time. So yeah, I wouldn't focus on really trying to, you know, stack on a lot more stuff, you know, add in, you know, extra intervals or, you know, extra cardio. I mean, if you feel like you've got it, you maybe add.
I wouldn't add in intensity stuff. I would add in like low intensity stuff.
Yeah, duration, I would say.
Yeah. Yeah. Like if you can handle it, go watch TV at the gym for an hour and just walk. Like,
yeah.
Except like low intensity stuff that's still kind of it's better that if you're just gonna sit around watching TV for an hour at home, go walk on a treadmill and do it.
Yeah.
This is short term now. There's not much time left. And these last 3 weeks are just they're just tough. Like there's nothing really else to said about. I mean, Tori said in her interview too, it's a little different because she was in a live show, but the fact remains that at the last few weeks, and again, this is only 23 days out of your entire life, this is where you want to really, really tighten things up. So, you know, maybe, and I know it's ebbs and flows and there's fluctuations, but now, you know, recruit as much support as you can. Like, rely on the forum, get whoever's in your life that's supportive, lean on them a bit. Ask them, say, look, it's coming up, it's not much longer, I'm going to lean on you for a bit more support. You know, and people will support you. Like everyone in the forum does, and just stay active. There's not much time to go.
Yeah, yeah. Just remember, your recoverability is sapped. You know, the lower you are in calories. So you know, at that point, you know, the low intensity stuff is about the only thing that you're going to be able to add in, mm-hmm. and still be able to do the other stuff. And plus, I mean, you know, again, with Pilon looking into inflammation a lot more. It's almost like a yin and yang approach, especially when the calories are going down. It seems to me that, you know, if you're going to be really intense, you know, with your weight training, that you've got to offset that somehow with something lower intensity to kind of balance.
Yeah,
that
I don't know
down.
If you've covered this, the concept of having like a high energy reserve for the week. So in any given time frame, there's only so much high intensity, high stress level. Activity you can even endure, and then you're kind of spent, and then but that doesn't mean you're not spent for more low intensity stuff.
Yeah, we talked about stress is stress, you know.
Right So and I mean, everyone's got jobs and school and everything else, so you know, there's only so much stress you can handle. And I'm sure towards this now, in these last little bit here, it may, I don't know if it feels more stressful or if you're in a groove and you're riding a wave of them, but whatever it is, it's still stress. And it doesn't even matter if you perceive it as stress, it's still a lot. So
sure.
Trying to add more high-intensity stuff might not fit. It might only make sense to add a little bit of low-intensity stuff. Or, like Brad said, don't add anything, just try to stay consistent and not fall back a bit. So, and finally, you're not competing against anyone else besides yourself, so try to remind yourself of that one too. Like, any change at all in these last 12 weeks is great, because if you didn't decide to, you know, whatever it was, nine weeks ago now, to do something, you wouldn't even be anywhere ahead at all. You'd probably look exactly like how you looked 9 weeks ago. So it's already, for everyone who's even made any change and noticed, you've already done a great job. And I've been noticing people on the forums mentioning new lows, like Tova was saying, she just hit a new low, and that's inspirational for everybody. Every time someone has like a measurement and they throw it up and they're like, wow, I've never been there before. Or people getting past their previous sabotage point and being in uncharted territory. It's cool.
Sure.
So everyone's already done a great job, and just keep rolling along. And it's 12 weeks later. The point was just to see how far you can make it in 12 weeks.
Yeah. Just remember, this is a collaborative effort between everybody. So it's not just you against the world. It's you and us, and then everybody else that's in the community, and you know, some of the people that are on your side. I mean, it's a collaborative effort, and so you have to kind of recruit, you know, all of those resources. Especially, I mean, think about like if you were, I mean, you're intentionally putting yourself in a higher stressed state. You know what I mean? And so whenever you have that, I mean, you've got your physical stress. I mean, you've got the emotional stress that comes in. You've got a bunch of open loops that you're opening up, and unfinished business that you need to lock down because, you know, you've got this contest going in a specific direction. And so you've got all these stressors that you're adding in, and then, you know, you're trying to chase that with intensity. And so you need to have a way to kind of diffuse some of the stress or not add some of it in, mm-hmm. because you just break down, you know, I mean, just totally. mean, again, stress is stress. So it's a collaborative effort, you know, within everybody, you know, all of us. You know.
Oh, and that also goes back to the point about overreaching. That's why those workouts are short. They're only a week or two.
Yeah. So yeah. Again, and the other thing.
And right now might, I mean, again, I guess I'm speaking a bit to Naomi's concept here. Right now in the contest, it's be very aware if you're even attempting overreaching right now. Just be honest with yourself how much you have in the tank to even try something that much more intense right now.
Yeah. Well, for example, like Alan added in overreaching stuff at the end when he was doing his bodybuilding contest, but he did it for a different reason because he was trying to train muscular endurance for when he was posing on stage. So.
Yeah. For those of you who haven't looked, Alan competed in a bodybuilding show as well as our competition. And he found that the overreaching workouts really, really taxed his muscular endurance. And if you're not aware, at a bodybuilding show, there's a lot of effort spent posing. That's because in any given round of the show, you need to flex like every muscle on your body. And if you kind of let any muscle go relaxed, you lose points because the judges are constantly evaluating everything they see. And it's interesting at one of these shows. So all of the training partners, so all of these guys, buddies who are in the crowd are constantly yelling out to their guy on stage to remember to flex his legs and remember to squeeze his abs. And you can see them on stage as they start to relax because they're exhausted. And then you see all the definition disappear out of a particular muscle group because they're forgetting to flex it because they're so tired. And then a guy out in the crowd will be like, you know, Jeff, your legs. And the guy on stage, oh, yeah. And then he starts flexing his legs again. And you could tell that they're exhausted. So, Alan, that's a really good point that Alan used our overreaching workouts on his way to the show to be in good condition to literally make it through the posing rounds.
Right.
So not that you guys have to do that, but it's just it's an example of placing your intensity where you need to.
But then
he was really taxing himself, but he needed to because he needed to be in that kind of condition.
But then it goes back to the other point where, you know, this guy is up on stage stressed out to the max that, you know, depleted, dehydrated, beat. I mean, all these things. And he's got his collaborative crew out in the crowd telling him what to do.
And he prepped for it, though. He prepped to be in that state.
Right, exactly. So what we're saying is that even though you're not going to be going to that extreme, I mean, you're still going to be experiencing those same types of stressors. So just be aware. I mean, all this is awareness. Just be aware that this is what you're doing to to yourself. I mean, it's a process, and you're going through this process. And just be aware so that you have all of the things you need on your side, because nobody ever does it alone. Nobody ever does anything alone, ever. So, I mean, I don't know anybody. I don't care if it's making money or guy becomes a millionaire or somebody gets a great body or whatever. I have never known a single person.
How about this? Nobody ever does anything of much value or productive alone.
Yeah, there you go. I mean, you could sit in front of the computer. Never mind. We're talking to women, not the guys. Yeah. Never mind. Oh God, we just went to the gutter real
anyways,
quick.
Anyways, it's just why do we always end them like this?
Because they're funny. But let's see. So with that being said, just be aware that in the coming weeks, with the contests and all this stuff, once all the winners are named and all that good stuff, we'll be on interviews with these guys. And so, you know, you've got a good handle on everyone and what they're kind of going through right now. But, you know, we've got a pretty interesting process of how to, you know, ask questions and get good information out of people that you probably didn't know. And that'll help you out as well. All right, man. So do you got anything else?
No, I don't think so. That's pretty good. So I think we covered everything we need to cover. So just a reminder, email me. I know some people have already contacted me to confirm they're in for Vegas, but having an email record would help me too.
Yeah, exactly. So, all right. So for John Barbin, I'm Brett Howard, and that's your Venus Index podcast.